Joining us now, I mean, this is a big deal. We're sitting down. We've got the big man, the commissioner, the boss at the LPGA, Mike Wan. Welcome into the golf shop.
Hey, guys, what's up? Thanks for having me in.
Oh, man, hey, you've got a big week.
We do have a big week. I'm calling you from the Lancaster Marriott, getting ready for the U.S. Women's Open this week.
Well, all right, Mike, let's get right into it. I mean, this is such a big. I mean, the U.S. Open is such a big deal for the ladies' game. It's as big a deal as it is of any tournament you guys have, and the resurgence of the LPGA recently. I mean, you're being credited for a great deal of it, and you know, what's the model for continued success on the LPGA Tour?
Well, it's pretty simple. I mean, at the end of the day, I've said from the beginning in 2010, our goal was simple, to be the most customer-centric group of athletes in the world. And what I mean by that is when players sign up and sign in for an LPGA event, they're the only athletes in the world that are given a two-page overview of the check writers that week. Who are the people that are writing the checks to make this week possible? We give them things to tweet and Facebook. We tell them where to send their thank you notes, handwritten thank you notes. We show pictures of the most important people that are going to be on site that week that had made this event possible. I have no experience as a commissioner. I didn't go to school or take commissioner 101 in college, but I've been a sponsor. I've sponsored about every sport in the world, and I know what it feels like to write a big check and wonder if anybody really cares about why we were doing it. So on the LPGA, we understand the check writers, not just the staff, but the athletes, and that's made a difference. You know, we've doubled our TV hours, same thing in person tournaments. So, you know, we've gone from having 20 countries in the world pay attention to over 160 countries, and it's all from one basic, we call it role reversal, which means spend more time thinking about the check writers than we do thinking about pin placements and tee boxes.
Well, and you have a young group of players here. Did they immediately embrace this and understand why this is important?
Yeah, to be honest, they probably got it more than I did. I thought when I came here I was going to be the great educator and I was going to shed all this gospel of wealth. And what I realized after about 2 weeks is they already got it. We just needed to make it more across the board. They already understood the importance of the Pro-Am day was, as they would tell me, we're a host on Wednesday, we're a professional player on a Thursday. And so they got that. I just needed to provide them with more information. So when we're playing in the HSBC or the Kia or the Craft or the ANA, they understood what the check writers were trying to get out of that week. So if you ask, you know, why are we playing more tournaments? Why are we playing for more money? Why do we have so many more TV hours? We're just a better business partner than we used to be, and I think we're a better business partner than any other sport. I don't think anybody asks LeBron James after his game to go up to box 45 and shake hands with the bankers and say thank you to a few folks or write a thank you note. We do all those things every day.
And how has this changed the target, the way you go after your fan base? I mean, who is the LPGA fan base? I've always thought one of the great fallacies of women's sports is that women are women's sports fans, and I'm just not sure that's ever been true.
Well, it's a little bit, you know, when you're talking about golf, you know, even though it frustrates me, is more male dominant. It's 80-20 males. Our fans are about 65-35 male to female because the golf industry itself skew. We obviously deliver more females than sort of any other golf property. But yeah, it definitely skews more to the golf. We also, our home base network is the Golf Channel. So all of our events in some way, shape, or form usually are on the Golf Channel. They're doing the most discussion about us during their news programs, and the Golf Channel delivers a more male-to-female audience. The cool thing is at majors and times like this weekend where we'll be on, you know, primetime Fox all weekend long, or when we're on, you know, NBC 2 weekends ago when we were in Westchester County in New York, that gives us a chance to reach a whole other casual fan that probably doesn't see us week in and week out, and that's when our numbers kind of go through the roof. I mean, what's really cool, I think, and most American fans don't grasp is, you know, we play a lot of small hometown events like Lancaster, Pennsylvania this week, but this week 171 countries will watch us. So it may feel like we're playing in Toledo or Carlsbad, California, you know, or outside of New York, but the whole world's watching us week in and week out. And that's really what's different about the LPGA today versus 10, 15 years ago.
Well, you've been able to educate or re-educate an entire tour. How'd you feel about heading in with Fox for what is their inaugural? I mean, did you do some educating there as well?
Well, the interesting thing about the USGA is it's the one event where we have our hands completely off the wheel. And sometimes that's great because somebody else is stressing over all the details. And sometimes that's frustrating because, of course, we get used to running things. But this is the United States Golf Association's Women's Open. It's the oldest major on our calendar, and it's their show. And because it's their show, they own the TV rights. They sold those TV rights for the next 12 years to Fox. And I think that's going to be great. It's going to be a whole other audience, a whole other talent team and home of the production crew. And quite frankly, Fox hasn't really been engaged in golf, at least in the 6 years I've been here. So in my you know, humble opinion, it's great to have another network fully committed to producing golf because it gives us more options and more, you know, more investment in the sport.
Yeah, and I'd like to see more extensions of that. So when these guys, these Fox broadcasters are out there doing baseball next week and another time or whatever, mentioning what a great time or what a great event or the great athletes that they saw in the LPGA, I think that's a bonus, too, to expanding that network.
I've never met a media group that covers sports, especially other sports, that have come to any kind of LPGA event that don't walk away and say, your athletes are like none other we've ever met. I mean, they're just so gracious. They're open to their time. You know, they're good with the fans. I mean, it was funny, 2 weeks ago we played our first KPMG Women's PGA Championship, where we partnered with the PGA of America. And when we first got together, they talked to us about how we wanted to make sure there was no autographs and players were to be completely left alone during majors. And we said, hey, guys, that's not us. We want our players high-fiving 7-year-old girls as they're walking down the fairway and signing autographs. We want to influence the future of the game. We don't want to separate ourselves from the future of the game, and that's something we take a lot of pride in.
Yeah, I had Michelle McGann come and grab me about halfway up a par 5 at the. I was standing outside the ropes, and she asked me to walk with her at the Nabisco. And I was shocked. I had worked in stick and ball, and I certainly never had Stephon Marbury greet me so warmly. I just thought it was awesome. So, well, we're talking to LPGA Commissioner Mike Wann, and I'm in studio today with Davis Troxler, Mike, and he has a question for you.
Yes, Mike. The tour is becoming more international with players and event locations. Are you concerned about losing some of the American fans, or how do you think you could bolster them?
You know, it's a great question. When I took the job in the beginning of 2010, I had a press conference at the Madison Square Gardens. Mm-hmm. And the first question in the Q&A section, I don't remember now which reporter asked, but they said, what are you going to do about all the international influence on the LPGA? And I said, I'm going to embrace it with open arms. And everybody started scribbling notes. And I remember thinking to myself, what did I say? And so later in the press conference, somebody came back and said, aren't you concerned about having players from, you know, from all over the world and not being a very Americanized tour? And I said, guys, I'm not a smart guy. I follow other people's success models. And I said, I'm going to follow the greatest success model in sports, and that's the Olympics. The Olympics is smart enough to create an event where the best in the world strive to reach in the prime of their career. They want to compete against the best in the world to see who's number one. They put on incredible hometown events, but they let the rest of the world watch. And I said, that's what the LPGA is becoming. No matter where you're a young female golfer in the world, your goal is to make it to the LPGA. And the reason is, because there's no other place where you can play against the best week in and week out. And we put on incredible hometown events, but we let 170 countries watch us every time we play. So I'm not suggesting that we're the Olympics, but we're following a pretty good Olympic model, which is get the best in the world to want to come together in one location. Find out who's the best in the world every week, not just every, you know, third tournament or every fifth tournament. And then let the rest of the world in on what's going on. And so, you know, in our world, when you look at the LPGA today versus 20 years ago, we had the same size U.S. audience. You know, I guess we're 30% larger U.S. audience, but now we've added a couple hundred million fans from around the world. We have sponsors from around the world, fans from around the world, and obviously TV partners now from around the world. So we've gone from having a really cool regional tour to having the Women's Olympics every week.
How do you feel about possibly getting the PGA Tour, the Senior Tour, and the LPGA Tour together to have one tournament?
I'd love it. I mean, Tim Fincham knows I bring it up probably once a year with him. You know, the challenge that Tim has is he's working on his 2019 schedule while I'm working on a 2016 schedule. I wish I had that problem. But and he's got full dates. You know, now that they don't really have an off season with the wraparound tour season, it's harder to. But he's definitely open to it. We both agree that it'd be good for golf. It'd be fun for our players. Our players on both tours have asked us about it. I think his on his. And mine on mine, because they've played in other, you know, corporate outings and charity fundraisers, and so I'd love to do it. I believe we'll do it. I just don't know. I don't know when or where. But I think where there's a will, and I think there is on both sides of the table, there'll be a way.
Yeah, and hopefully they saw last year back-to-back U.S. Opens buoyed both tournaments. I think it made both tournaments better.
Yeah, in a perfect world, I mean, if I really had my druthers, we'd have a tournament where they wouldn't play 1 week and leave, and we'd play 1 week and leave. There'd be a tournament where the 9:40 tee time is Creamer, Wee, and Indy Park, and the 9:50 tee time is, you know, Bubba Watson and McIlroy and Jimmy Walker. I think it'd be really cool to see, you know, different groups walking down the fairway right behind each other.
Amen.
And, you know, we'll see. We'll get closer to that in the Olympics in Rio. But I think long-term, that would really be a fun way to play around the golf.
Yeah, now that, I mean, that's a great idea. Another part of your model that is emerging, and I know this is going to sound to our listeners like a selfish question, as a tournament director on the Symetra Tour, you are really committed to the Symetra Tour as your developmental tour, even saying you want upwards of 80, 85, 90% of players on tour to have had experience in the Symetra Tour. Why is that so important? I mean, we've doubled the number of events on the Symetra Tour in 3 years since I was involved.
Well, it's real simple. I mean, if you're going to build the best tour in the world, and I believe we're doing that and are probably already there for the female game in the LPGA, then you can't expect when a player walks in day one for her to be ready to do what's expected of her when she gets there. In other words, when I got here, we used to do all of our rookie orientation during players' first year on tour. Well, for a lot of people, that's too late. I mean, by the time you've made it to the LPGA tour, you think you have too much stuff figured out, and there's just too much coming at you, media and player request and volunteer request, and you know what you're trying to figure out how to hire and fire caddies and agents, and all that stuff really needs to be trained at a much earlier stage in your career. So what we've really done with the Symetra Tour, as we're thinking of that, is the true AAA farm system to get to our major league. So 90% of our player development activity now happens on the Symetra Tour. We talk about fitness and nutrition. We talk about hiring and firing agents. We do mock media press conferences, you know, both good news and bad news press conferences. We talk about how to conduct and how to be a great host at an LPGA pro-am. Most of that training on the Symetra Tour is done by current or former players. I realized pretty quickly that when I stood at the top, in the front of the room and started trying to teach players, a lot of people looked at their smartphones and started texting. But when Annika Sorenstam stands up and talks about player fitness and nutrition, nobody's phone comes out of their pocket. So it's to me, if we want to have players that are ready to be successful, not just for them, but for us, the minute they hit the tour, then we have to do no different than the Yankees do or the, you know, or any other team with a farm system. We have to invest in our future. We need to build future stars. And so that's, in my perfect world, 4 or 5 years down the road, your only way to the LPGA will either be to come through Symetra or get invited to an LPGA tour event and win. I really think that we'll have more successful and happy players on tour if they get to spend at least a year on the Symetra Tour and build some of these skills that are going to make them great pros.
Well, all right. So before we let you go, I'm going to ask you one of these tough questions that I know people want to know about. How does your commitment to player development play into your thinking about the waiver system and Brooke Henderson?
Well, there's a great example. So, you know, as I always tell people, my goal isn't to make sure that players have a great 14-year-old year in professional golf. I want to have players be out here for 15 or 20 years, selfishly for me and for them. And when you think about the LPGA Tour today, it's, as Davis mentioned too in the question, it's more than driving from Toledo to Michigan. It's Thailand, Singapore, Australia, et cetera. So I want to make sure that players can take on that amount of strain. And I want to make sure that when you make it to the LPGA, the making it is fair to everybody. I get a lot of petitions every year, as you can imagine.
Yep.
Only two petitions that I've received where people said, can I be an LPGA player tomorrow? I've said yes to, and I probably said no to hundreds. Alternatively, both of those players had come off of wins on the LPGA Tour as a sponsor invite. Brooke wins on the Symetra Tour, petitions me to become a Symetra Tour member, and the next day she is a Symetra Tour member. And the really cool thing, as I said to Brooke on the phone when we were talking about it, her future is completely in her hands, which is what professional golf is all about. She can play her way onto the tour through the Symetra Tour. She can win enough money playing as a sponsor invite, or she can go to Q School this fall. But she has three different ways in which she could become an LPGA member next year. I have zero doubt that Brooke will have a long and successful LPGA career. I just I also have zero doubt that having to start that at 15, 16, or 17 is a requirement.
Well, Mike, we're up against the break. Thank you so much for taking the time. Good luck this week and for the rest of the season and the rest of your time at the LPGA. Great work, my friend.
Thanks for covering us, guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.